Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want a kinder and gentler nation. A new world order can emerge. A new era. This will not stand, this aggression against Kuwait. A brilliant diversity, spread like stars, like a thousand points of light in a broad and peaceful sky.
The world mourns the loss of former President of the United States, George Herbert Walker Bush.
Read my lips.
Born in Milton, Massachusetts, he enlisted in the armed forces on his 18th birthday, becoming the youngest pilot in the Navy when he earned his wings, and flying 58 combat missions during World War II. Graduating from Yale after the war, he eventually followed his father into politics.
I do not fear what is ahead, for our problems are large, but our heart is larger.
Serving in Texas, then the House of Representatives, then earning appointments as U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. and Director of the CIA, among others.
The President-elect of the United States, George Herbert Walker Bush.
After serving two terms as Vice President under Ronald Reagan, he was elected President, the first serving VP to be elected to the office in over 150 years in 1988.
I, George Herbert Walker Bush, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States. So help me God.
In a term defined by his foreign policy, President George Bush earned record approval ratings at one point, but was ultimately defeated in his bid for re-election in 1992. He was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor, in 2009.
We honor George Herbert Walker Bush for service to America that spanned nearly 70 years. As president, he expanded America's promise to new immigrants. He reduced nuclear weapons. He built a broad international coalition to expel a dictator from Kuwait, ending the Cold War without firing a shot.
We remember our 41st president, George Herbert Walker Bush.
God bless the United States of America.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and happy Saturday to you. And God bless former President George Herbert Walker Bush. Congratulations to Casey Johns. Great job there, our producer behind the glass, putting together that neat little tribute. And the nation and the world and the state of Texas lost one of the best ever. A good one and as good as it gets, and certainly somebody that's going to be on the nation's mind here for the coming week. And what a pleasant little summary there to hear somebody who was patriotic like that and who is a bit of a flashback to the vitriol and the anger and all the gnashing of teeth these days. But we appreciate you joining us today on the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon in lovely downtown Austin, Texas, high atop the Talk 1370 Right Choice Worldwide headquarters over in West Austin. And if you want to check us out when it's not Saturday at 12:30 to 1:30, be sure and go over and check us out at texasinsider.org, where we post about 10 to 15 articles every day. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Texas Insider. We're up to about 40,000 Facebook and Twitter followers, so don't forget to do that if you want. But what a lovely, lovely day here in downtown Austin, Texas. As I always say, the nation's 11th largest city, severe clear. We appreciate you tuning in. And as you're going about your maybe holiday shopping or getting a Christmas tree or doing this, that, or the other, be sure and tune us back in after you go in and run to the grocery store. We've got two political experts and some of the state's best prognosticators in studio with us. We're going to be visiting with the Quorum Report, Scott Braddock and Scott And Brian Preston just has left the government's employ and is his own boss, going to be working with us a little bit here on Texas Insider, a former producer of the Laura Ingraham show. And folks, we have got, like I said, a lot of things to be thankful for, but certainly one of them in the past 35 years that I've been doing politics, starting off with Ronald Reagan as president and George Herbert Walker Bush as vice president, and then he became president. He birthed a fine family, and he and Barbara, who passed away back in April, raised two sons that would be governors. One would be president. Quite a family history. Let's start off with you, Scott. What are your thoughts here right off the top of the bat?
You know, when you think about somebody who had an impact on Texas politics in particular, and you know, I get frustrated with national media, as you might imagine.
Absolutely.
Mainstream media. I was watching CNN, MSNBC, and even Fox. And you know, everybody has one of those that they either love to watch or love to hate watch.
Yes.
And you have a guy who was not a Northeast moderate. I mean, spent a lot of time in Maine, was, you know, born in New England and all that. But this is a guy who was elected by Houstonians, right, repeatedly.
Yep.
And Houston, by the way, continues to elect reasonable Republicans. Mm-hmm. I think people in Washington and New York have a certain idea about what it means to be a Texas Republican.
Absolutely.
And they don't think that George Bush, but he was Harris County Republican Party chairman. His mission,
yes,
and this may sound familiar to people now, his mission was to change the political color of the state. Remember, it was a Democratic state back then. He was working to be elected statewide as a Republican.
Yep.
Was somebody who was dedicated to a certain set of values, a certain core set of values, as the tribute that y'all played at the beginning of this laid out. Just an amazing life. And my personal recollection was in 2005, I was a Cub reporter, 25 years old, KTRH in Houston.
Okay.
And this was after Hurricane Katrina, in the aftermath of what had happened with that monster storm in New Orleans. And we had so many new Houstonians, so many new Texans who had made their way from, remember, the shelter was in the Superdome in New Orleans, and that was said to be just a disaster there.
Mm-hmm.
They put people on school buses, po' boy trucks, anything they could, anything with four wheels. They brought people to Houston, to the Astrodome, and to Reliant Hall there. As mm-hmm. this young reporter, I got to tour the facility with George Herbert Walker Bush, Barbara Bush, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton,
really?
And a newly elected senator named Barack Obama.
You were kidding.
And it was one of those deals where in media, when they have a big event like that, they will do, as Brian knows, sort of a they'll call it a pool. There's only a few reporters who will agree that they'll cover the event, but then you have to provide your material to everybody else who wants
it. And cover
it
for everybody,
right?
Yeah.
So there was a print reporter, there was a TV photographer, and I was the radio guy in for this deal. Just the fortune of getting the assignment. I got to see firsthand, how much he cared about those people. When he was running for re-election, he was criticized for looking at his watch during a debate.
Yeah,
like, he didn't care.
He was out of touch.
He didn't care. He was out of touch. I don't know, whether that was fair or not, but I can tell you that in his later years, he cared so much about those people. You could see just somebody who was really compassionate and really empathetic for the situation. But the very neat thing for me, and again, I was just a Cub reporter. Mm-hmm. I was nobody. 3 years later, and I'm still nobody, but 3 years later, election night, 2008,
okay.
As the returns came in and it was clear that Barack Obama was going to be the 44th president of the United States, I get an email from President Bush 41's office, and it was a picture of that day back from 2005 where I was walking around with
Bill Clinton. You have got
Bill
to be
Clinton.
Kidding.
It's me in the background. Bill Clinton and Barack Obama are there comforting some of the Hurricane Katrina evacuees, and Bush's office, this is just how thoughtful and kind they were to this nobody little radio reporter from Houston. They sent me this note on election night with that picture, and they said, thought you might want this.
And he was known for scribbling out on the airplane as he left or in the car as he pulled away those personal thank you notes, mm-hmm. and garnering and growing up a following over his career for doing that. Mm-hmm. And yet to be doing something like that years later just speaks volumes.
Well, it just tells me that, if his office would reach out to me about that, then I can only imagine what kind of kindness they extended to people all over the world. And, of course, that matches up with all the stories that we've heard about President Bush 41, especially over the last 12 hours or so.
Brian Preston, what about you? You've had some experience with the Bush family.
Certainly have.
Been working with George P. over at the Land Commissioner's Office. You've been a Republican player for decades. What are you thinking?
Well, you know, George P. Bush is the grandson of George H.W. Bush. And one of the things that I have always been struck with George H.W. Bush are three things: that he was decent, and he was good, and he was great.
Amen.
And you don't always get those three things in one individual. Mm-hmm. He was decent. And what you're talking about, the story you just laid out, is a story of decency, really.
Right.
He is not in that photo. You showed me that photo before
we
came on the air.
Right, that's kind of the point of the photo. I'll put it on my Facebook so people can see it. It wasn't about him. It was about, you know, what's next.
Right.
Interesting.
And it wasn't really about you either.
Right, it wasn't about me. It was just like, this is a moment from history.
Right.
Right, it was just, you know.
And that's a moment for you, right, having been in the frame with the next president. It's an extraordinary moment.
Yeah.
That's decency that he obviously imparted to his staff. And what you talk about with him at Katrina, interacting with the victims of that horrible storm. And he clearly did care and clearly did have empathy. Now, he was also good. There was goodness in this man and the way he conducted himself throughout his extraordinary career, throughout his time in the White House, both in the Reagan years and in his own years. Mm-hmm. And then the greatness, the leadership during Desert Storm. You cannot forget that. Talk about George H.W. Bush without acknowledging that. And I'll pull another story from his much younger days.
And actually, Brian, because some folks, to be honest with you, being a couple or three fairly middle-aged to older farts talking around politics here, but Desert Storm was back in the early 90s.
Yeah, that's back 1990-91.
When we went in, and George Herbert Walker Bush, I'll never forget, had an approval rating that will go untouched probably in
90%.
94%.
Yeah.
And that's why no Democrat ran against him. All the B-line candidates refused to take this guy on because he was unbeatable. So you got this third-string governor from Arkansas, or better known as Arkansas, named Bill Clinton, and the rest is history. But keep going.
And he took advantage of the vacuum there. So another story from Bush's earlier days. The greatness runs throughout his life. On his 18th birthday, he enlists for the U.S. Navy because the nation was at war.
Just incredible.
And he becomes the youngest aviator in the Navy's history at that point.
Yeah.
And he is shot down over the Pacific. He goes back in the air after he's shot down. This is a man who put his life on the line for this country when he was a very, very young man, when others might not take up that duty.
Mm-hmm.
And to have carried forward from that this life of public service, I think just speaks to his patriotism and really his greatness. Because, well, no matter how good your resume is, as we all look at our lives and our histories, none of us will ever have a resume like George H.W. Bush.
You know, and
we just won't.
I think one of the things that should be said about it is there's a certain level of political courage that goes into making a decision that you know may get you beat in that next election. And I think if you look, I'm reading Doris Kearns Goodwin's book about leadership, and she is going through the profiles of Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt and FDR and LBJ. And with Bush, you think about the fact that he went back on his promise that he wouldn't raise taxes. Voters punished him for that. But if you do the math, there's no way to get to the Clinton surpluses in later administrations without making the correction they made under Bush.
Mm-hmm. Doing the right thing.
It turned out to be investment in the future.
I am going to wrap up this segment. I've been, as I'm sure everybody has, been seeing a plethora of posts on Facebook and Twitter. Everybody's got a picture with George Herbert Walker Bush and has had some point in their political career where they've engaged, dovetailed, or been able to have an experience with George and Barbara Bush. But one of the best ones I saw was from our outgoing Texas Speaker of the House, Joe Strauss, who said the following: President George Bush lived his entire life in service to his country. History will remember him as a man who made America stronger and more secure, and who served bravely as a Navy aviator and led boldly as commander-in-chief, making difficult decisions even when they were weren't politically convenient. But just as importantly, George Bush was the type of person who all of us should aspire to be. He was an unfailingly kind man who never wavered in his devotion to his family, his principles, his country, and his belief in serving others. for all the acts of service that he inspired and encouraged. It was his life that proved to be the most brilliant point of light of all. Well, guys, appreciate your thoughts and comments and prayers for the George Herbert Walker Bush, President 41 of the United States, him and his family. And we will be talking a little bit more about that and some of the week's events in Texas politics and national politics right after this commercial break, right here on Talk 1370, the Texas Insider Show.
I see history as a book with many pages, and each day we fill a page with acts of hopefulness and meaning.
I say that emotions are something we don't share. I don't want to be sitting here trying to deceive you. Cause you know I know, baby, that I don't wanna go. We cannot live.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere on the radio.com app.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for joining us for this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. Thanks for joining us. We've got Scott Braddock and Brian Preston in studio here talking a little bit about Texas politics, and good job, Casey Johns, there producing with a little Van Halen, getting us jumping out of our seats on a beautiful, beautiful fall day here in Austin, Texas. We are here every Saturday afternoon from 12:30 to 1:30 on Talk 1370, the right choice. And when you want to look at some news and consume some news how you want and when you want, be sure and check us out at texasinsider.org. We post about 10 to 15 articles every day and really just get the quotes and the press releases from the elected officials. You can get enough opinionating and opinion on other sources. We don't figure that's worth very much to you anyway. So we just tell you what the politicians are saying, and be sure and check us out on Facebook and Twitter as well at Texas Insider. Brian and Scott, I'm going to tick through a bunch of things here because there were some things going on in Texas politics. I know we got the state Republican Executive Committee meeting downtown here deciding to do some fairly interesting things, I guess is a courteous way I'll put it. We've got the caravan moving up over in Tijuana and California, and also coming at us in the Texas southern border. But, you know, it was the real this is why you listen and why you're Texas Insiders, because there was a lot of chatter this week and I really didn't understand it. Everybody on the radio, everybody on the cable news was talking about Michael Cohen in the last couple days reaching a special agreement with Robert Mueller, and I don't think anybody cares or knows these guys' names. Lying, and he got caught for lying to Congress. You know, that's what we all know that these special prosecutors do. They interview you a dozen times, and every one of them's for 3 or 5 hours, and who knows if you're doubling back or can remember anything. But the bottom line is that there are plenty of liars running around Washington, D.C. right now, like Lois Lerner and John Brennan and Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder and James Comey, that I think the media just doesn't care. And then the other thing that we're going to be talking about probably in the next week is that Congress is about to run out of money. They're up there. I don't know about you all, but I talked to a couple congressional offices. They're up there working overtime because their spending bill for the federal government runs out next Saturday, December 7th, and they're scrambling to pass the farm bill. I know for those of you who are from West Texas and know that they need help out there, there's Homeland Security that's going to be in the news. It's in the news because Donald Trump wants another $25 billion to build the wall. The House and the Senate guys are saying that they might spend $5 billion. I saw the other day that Chuck Schumer said Republicans are in control of the presidency, the House and the Senate. The shutdown is on their back, and that's Chuck Schumer, the Senate minority leader. So we'll see where they end up. Chuck Schumer and the Democrats are wanting to give President Trump $1.6 billion. The House and the Senate guys are asking for $5 billion, and Donald Trump's asking for $25 billion. But the caravan's in the news, and that's, I think, something that's important to Americans. more so than some of this other trivial stuff. I don't know if you all saw Barack Obama was out in the news again down at the James Baker Institute in Houston the other day. Oh, yeah. And I swear the poor fella, I, as a lifelong conservative, would every now and then, I'll never forget his acceptance speech at the Democrat convention in Denver. He almost had me buying into some of the stuff he was saying. Tremendous.
Very, very talented guy. Still.
Tremendous speaker. And he's out talking about how I created this recovery and I created the fracking boom and I created the oil and gas cheap prices. It just kind of is.
Wait a minute.
Remarkable.
Wait a minute.
Exactly.
He's the one who said we can't drill our way out of our energy problems.
That's exactly right. And put just regulations on the industry left and right. We saw last
week. Drill, baby, drill.
Right. Exactly. There's old Newt.
What we're doing now, right?
Newt Gingrich. But last Sunday after we had our Saturday show, some of the unemployment numbers came out. Austin's jobless rate has fallen to 2.7%. The number of new workers in the region, get this, folks, just in the month of October, increased 4,600 jobs, according to the Texas Workforce Commission. 4,600 jobs just in 1 month. Austin's one of the hottest areas to get a job in the nation. And I think I saw the Realtors Association or one of the chambers or something said that the civilian workforce in the metro area, which includes Travis, Williamson, Hayes, Bastrop, and Caldwell County, has climbed to almost 1.2 million people, 1.2 million people, up from 711,000 in 1999.
Yeah.
Just incredible. And of course, we got home sales going through the roof and Texas unemployment, that was Austin unemployment. Texas unemployment hit 2.7 or 3.7% the other day. The
unreal number.
Dallas Fed is saying that we're going to continue growing in 2019 and add something like 350 to 450,000 jobs for this year. And lo and behold, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal by our friend Steve Moore from the Heritage Foundation, who's an advisor to President Trump. We had him on the show a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He analyzed the tax income or the tax revenues coming into the federal government. He says it looks like the Trump tax cut is paying for itself and middle-class taxpayer income is up. And then here's an interesting one I saw from my old friend Scott Rasmussen, the pollster who we've had every now and then give us some input. He puts out something through Ballotpedia called the number of the day. And the number of the day earlier in the week was $1,007.
Okay.
$1,007 is going to be the average, now that Thanksgiving's behind us, that the average consumer in America is going to spend on Christmas.
Yeah.
With all the shopping, all the gift giving for the 12th year in a row, guess what remains the most popular items on the wish list is cards. Money cards, 60% yeah, according to those surveys.
Yeah, one thing troubled me in that, and I don't know if it was in the story that you were looking at, but a lot of Americans, because consumer confidence was high, were going to put a lot of the Christmas gifts on the plastic, on the credit card. So, you know,
not a good idea.
People should maybe rethink that part.
Yeah.
So despite all this happiness and the economy turning around and people seeming to be in a good mood for Christmas, we've still got the media continuing to bash Donald Trump. And I had a couple people tell me this week that they wondered, and it's finally, even with the election behind them, I guess they're spending some time to think a little bit as opposed to just react to what they say, and they're wondering why it is that the media just insists, and throw some Democrats in there, on making this country fail, making this president fail. And I saw Nancy Pelosi the other day saying that she was going to do everything within her power to bring down this president. The Democrats are starting to release him, maybe not to bring him down, but to make his life miserable. And the Democrats are starting to release some of their agenda in the House of Representatives. They're going to be pushing more gun control. They're going to be doing a little bit on Medicaid for all. People are still talking about how the election played out. And I will just summarize again, as we've talked about before in the show, that midterm elections, Barack Obama set the record. He lost 63 House seats and 8 Senate seats. Bill Clinton lost 52 House seats and 8 Senate seats. And then down at the bottom of the list, you got Donald Trump and Ronald Reagan, and Harry Truman was somewhere around the 30 to the 26 person level. And it just is interesting that while the border issue is going to be continuing to be in the news, and we'll talk about that when we come back from the break, Texas Democrats are still going to be calling for decriminalizing border crossings. But most importantly, when we come back, Scott and Brian, I want to talk about this election. And I don't think there's been enough discussion about it, but the Republicans, the more I've delved into it, really did take a spanking. And yet they're downtown right now voting to give their chairman a pay raise. It just doesn't make sense to me. We'll be right back after this commercial break and the news at the top of the hour on Talk 1370 with the Texas Insider Show. Good one, Casey Johns. Little Los Lonely Boys, A Piece of Heaven is what we're experiencing today, I'll tell you, here in lovely downtown Austin, Texas. And we appreciate you joining us for this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show as you're running around town doing some Christmas shopping, enjoying the beautiful weather, recovering from a football game last night. But thanks for joining us on the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12:30 to 1:30, high atop the worldwide headquarters of Talk 1370, the right choice over in Austin, Texas. And be sure and check us out during the week when you want, how you want. Our Facebook and Twitter handle is just Texas Insider. And then also on the TexasInsider.org website, we post about 10 to 15 articles every day, giving you the chance to keep up with what the politicians are saying, either from Washington, D.C. or down here at the state capitol. And we got the state legislative session coming at us before too long. Old Dennis Bonin looks like he is the speaker-elect in the House of Representatives, which has been a subject of note from those of us who make our living off of politics. But we got Brian Preston from the George P. Bush, Texas General Land Office, just departed and hanging his own shingle out, hanging with us here at Texas Insider, former producer of the Laura Ingraham Show, and old Scott Braddock of Radio Hall of Fame and the Quorum Report. Guys, appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And it's just striking me, I want to cover in the last half hour here both the caravan and the Republican Party reaction or lack thereof. I've had somebody tell me this week that you're only the old phrase that you're only as strong as your weakest link.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And they actually were telling me that in regards to the caravan, because Hispanic Americans hate it that they see this caravan, or a lot of them do, that they walking down the street as a person with brown skin all get lumped in with this illegal debate. And it just really is an injustice and would bother anybody, I think, certainly would me. But also in terms of this election cycle and politics, I don't know that the Republicans are taking seriously the State Republican Executive Committee of the Republican Party's meeting downtown yesterday and today, and they're not even going to get an analysis of the election, I was told. And here's some numbers to think about. In 2012, Mitt Romney and Ted Cruz both won Texas by 16 points. 2012, everybody should know that that senators are elected every 6 years. They're up for election every 6 years. So 2012 was when Ted Cruz got elected. He and Mitt Romney won by 16 points. Greg Abbott defeated Wendy Davis in 2014 by 20 points. He only beat Lupe Rodriguez, who was not as strong of a candidate this election cycle, by 14 points. So they've gone down.
Yeah.
Then Donald Trump 2 years ago carried Texas by 9 points. Now we have Ted Cruz's winning margin this year only being 2.7%, and that's atrocious if you're Ted Cruz of the Republican Party.
Right.
Guys, what's going on here?
Ryan?
Yeah, there's a lot going on in all of that. I mean, the first thing you can talk about really is some of the weaknesses in Ted Cruz's own candidacy and campaign. You can't get around that first in that race because it mattered. But beyond that, you have a state that is in a state of transition, mm-hmm. I think. You have 1,000 people moving here a day from out of state, and where are they moving from? Mm-hmm. If you look at the statistics, most of them are coming from blue cities and blue states. So how do they vote when they get here? They may be coming here for jobs and the economy, the Texas miracle that needs to be defended, that needs to be praised and sung to the top of the buildings.
To be a part of the red state.
To be a part of it.
Or...
Right, or they're going to change it. And, you know, we see that in these suburban counties and these mid-cities, Round Rock, for instance, changing rapidly from a red city to a purple-bluish city. Cedar Park is changing now.
Even down in Collin Butte.
Right, down in Collin Butte, you're seeing the same thing. San Marcos, you're seeing it all in these ring counties, these ring cities. And I tell you, one of the canaries in this very dangerous coal mine is Tarrant County. And what happened in Tarrant County in the Cruz race?
Amen.
That is a deep red county that flipped for Beto this time.
Has been the largest county in the nation that went Republican.
Right. Yeah. And Beto won it. And Beto O'Rourke, one of the things you have to talk about, too, is candidate selection. The Democrats have not had a really good statewide candidate in a very long time. You probably have to go back to Bill White 2010 for somebody who was viable, at least in a policy sense.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, former mayor of Houston.
Right.
Beyond him, they have not had good candidates. Candidly, they've had clown candidates for the most part,
mm-hmm.
even at the statewide level, or no candidate in some
races. Candidates. I remember, I think it was 4 years ago when the Democratic Party in Texas was bragging about the fact that they had a full slate of candidates because they had not done that.
I believe I was at the party in those days.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we weren't worried.
You being at the Republican
at the Republican Party. We were not worried about that full slate of candidates that they had because they were not viable other than White. And White, we knew right away, had no coattails.
Mm-hmm.
And he was against Perry. Perry, we knew, was going to trounce him because Perry was a fantastic campaigner. This time around, you had one serious candidate, really serious candidate, on the Democratic side, which was Beto O'Rourke. And then you could look at Justin Nelson for AG and some other ones. But at the governor level, they didn't have a viable candidate. Land office didn't have a viable candidate. Most of the statewides, they didn't. But in Beto O'Rourke, they had a marketable candidate with a marketable message, with no record really to speak of to drag him down, a young, energetic, dynamic candidate who was, I think, confusing to a lot of people in productive ways. His message was ambiguous as to its politics. In fact, if you watch his signature ad, the one where he's on the stage and he's addressing this adoring crowd, very Obama-esque ad, what's the first party identified in that ad?
I bet you're going to tell us it was Republican.
It was Republican.
Right? Yeah.
Because he says, there's a line in that ad where he says, it doesn't matter if we're Republicans or Democrats, and then he moves on. So for a lot of people hearing that ad, they didn't actually know what he was. And then for the folks who did know what he was, they voted straight ticket and gave us washouts like Dallas and Houston, where we lost Ed Emmett.
Okay, Scott Braddock of Quorum Report, the Democrat infrastructure has been atrophied, dysfunctional.
Yeah. Right.
But Beto O'Rourke comes within a margin of error of victory. And what really shocks me is that Donald Trump won Texas 2 years ago by 9%.
Right.
Ted Cruz won Texas this year by 2.7%. Mm-hmm. Donald Cruz is more popular in Texas than Ted Cruz.
Well, this whole deal, and I've often said for years, pretty much my entire career covering politics in Texas,
mm-hmm.
that Texas Democrats have political infrastructure on par with actual infrastructure in Afghanistan. There's lots of Democrats.
Well said.
There's lots of Democrats, just nothing that connects them. The metaphor
point.
Is in Afghanistan, you could live 3 miles from another village and never your whole life know that other village is there.
There's no road.
Right? There's no road. There's no internet. There's no anything. And I still think that's true, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have infrastructure. There was a confluence of events. You have the President Trump factor, not unlike the President Obama factor in 2010, which delivered historic gains for Republicans, right?
Yep.
I think it was, interestingly, to a lesser degree with Trump, when you look at just the number of seats that were picked up by the Democrats. Then you have the fact that a lot of Republicans are not thrilled with Senator Cruz,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, just anecdotally, I talked to plenty of Republicans who said they were either going to leave that blank or they were thinking about voting for Beto O'Rourke for the reason that Brian just said, which is they weren't quite sure who this guy is and what he's all about.
And right? I should note, you're talking from a reporter standpoint. You traveled this state.
I traveled all over the state. I traveled all through the primary and all through the general as well, all over this place. I put a few miles on the truck. Yeah. And, you know, it's...
You saw miles and miles of Texas.
Miles and miles of Texas. Everywhere from Amarillo all the way down to the Valley I traveled this year. And and it was remarkable to see the fact that people were looking for some alternative to this guy who they really honestly thought had not accomplished a whole lot. I mean, if you look at the things that things he had promised, he was going to defund Obamacare. Well, that didn't work out. He filibustered the bill and
green eggs and ham
and basically extended the recession for another quarter. So thanks for that. He was going to abolish the IRS. Still have to deal with them every year.
They're still standing.
They're still there. And, you know, the other thing was he flamed out with the supporters of President Trump when he at the Republican National Convention when he would not endorse the ticket.
Right.
There were Texas Republicans were furious at him for having done that.
And they haven't forgotten.
They were led, by the way, by the spiritual leader of the Republican Party in Texas, Dan Patrick, who was telling him he needed to get on board with the ticket. And then when he finally endorsed President Trump, well, the people who were still hanging with Cruz gave up on him at that point because that was the one thing they were expecting him to not do was to do that. and then you also have, as far as historic gains for Democrats in the state, who there were real coattails with O'Rourke because because Beto, he came out of nowhere. The first two things that we mentioned here that you know, there's the Trump factor, there's the Cruz factor. The O'Rourke factor was just that you could not have predicted that 3 years ago.
No.
That would come to fruition. Mm-hmm. That someone, but you know, we're sitting in Austin. And if I say real quick, who's the congressman for Abilene?
Mike Conaway.
Yeah. Well, right. Most people would have no idea, though. Yeah. Right?
Something not El Paso.
In a state like New Hampshire, where they have two congressmen, every voter knows who both of them are.
Yes.
But in Texas, people don't know who the whole delegation is. Nobody's ever heard of Beto O'Rourke. He comes out of nowhere and he's skating in the Walmart Whataburger parking lot.
Yeah.
We're involving all the companies today.
And he kind of used Whataburger's branding.
Yes, and he used their branding. And so all of this, I think there's the potential to read too much into any one election's results.
Yeah.
Those things will not happen all again at the same time. Right. And so, you know, when you have Senator Cornyn on the ballot, I was talking with some Democrats who had said, and I thought this was pretty insightful. They said, look, there would still be all of the stories in national media about this guy who's Kennedy-esque and Beto O'Rourke. But at the end of the day, it would not be a race. It would still be a 10-point blowout for Cornyn on election day because you wouldn't have Republicans wondering whether they should stick with this guy, Ted Cruz. It was Jerry Patterson, the former land commissioner, who said that he went into the voting booth, he hit the button for Cruz, he walked out, he put his finger down his throat, and he threw up.
Mm-hmm.
Because look, it's sort of like people used to say LBJ was an SOB, but he's our SOB.
Mm-hmm.
Right? With Cruz, it's not even that. It's just they say he's an SOB, but he votes the right way. You know, and now he's voting the right way.
And he asked you to pay $25 to have a yard sign in your yard,
right,
for Pete's sakes, turning over $25 for somebody you don't even necessarily care for.
Right. And the other thing about the historic gains for the Democrats in the Texas legislature and in the congressional races, and this is something that's under the radar, it gets overlooked, is that we are coming to the end of the redistricting cycle.
Yes.
And so to Brian's point about people moving to Texas all the time, you can only make it a policy priority to recruit companies and people to move from California to Texas, and that it's going to have an effect right, on how people vote at some point when you do that for 15 or 20 years. When they first draw those lines for all of those political offices, those are optimized for partisan advantage.
Yep.
You know, this district over here is a Republican one, this one over here is a Democrat one, and the party primaries are what really matter. But over the course of the decade, as you get to the end of the 10 years, those districts have changed. Those neighborhoods have changed. People are born, people die, people move. Those neighborhoods are just nothing like what they were before.
But theoretically,
Hayes County. Yeah.
Theoretically, they're supposed to be the strongest for the incumbent at that point because all the challengers that would have been valid have run against them and been fended off.
Yeah. But when you have all of those things come together at once,
the demographics,
including the fact that those districts are degraded. And by the way, the legislature will
very good point.
They will shore that up in 2021 after the next census.
Mm-hmm.
But if the same confluence of events that had happened with the Trump factor, the Cruz factor, the Beto factor, if that had all happened at the beginning of the redistricting cycle, I don't think you would have seen as many Democrats win the seats that they won this year.
Yeah. Okay, folks, we got to take a break and come back after a short commercial to talk more about what's the state of the Republican Party who's meeting downtown today, and maybe some of the House seats that we'll get into with Brian Preston and Scott Braddock right here on the Texas Insider Show. We'll be right back.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Just as I thought it was going all right, I found out I'm wrong when I thought it was right. It's always the same, it's just a shame, that's all. I could say day, and you'd say night. Tell me it's black when I know that it's white.
Oh, good job, Casey. Could listen to that one all day long. A little Phil Collins coming back into the Texas Insider Show. Folks, we appreciate you joining us here every Saturday afternoon from 12:30 to 1:30. I'm Jim Cardle, joined in studio today with our friend Scott Braddock from the Quorum Report and Brian Preston from the George P. Bush Land Office of Recent, former Republican Party operative and analysis extraordinaire. And be sure and check us out for this type of input or articles by similar folks on texasinsider.org. Anytime you want, we post about 10 or 15 articles a day. And be sure and check us out at Facebook and Twitter as well, just under Texas Insider. And guys, we're talking during the break here about any number of things. I saw, as some of you I'm sure will have, that up in Tarrant County, we talked about Tarrant County, the largest county in the country, with the greatest population going for Republicans, traditionally went Democrat this election cycle, thanks to Beto O'Rourke's strong effort and Ted Cruz's, I guess you got to be honest and say, weak effort. He didn't have a field operation like most statewide candidates have, with no offices in San Antonio and Dallas and Houston, no block walking, no phone banking. And yet Tarrant County right now is having a big debate about whether or not to kick out a Muslim precinct chairman, and they're just kind of forming a circular firing squad. And then we got the state Republican Executive Committee downtown voting to give their chairman, our local boy, James Dickey, done good, a $150,000 salary, which has always been a volunteer job, plus $22,000 in benefits. And guys, there was somebody down in Houston the other day that said, the big question was, do we have the money anyway to pay for this? How are we going to raise the money? Is this the right messaging to be saying? And then out of the blue comes this gal from Houston who says she's going to pay for it all. I've been talking about the unstable libertarians forever, and it's just not going to go away, scaring me to death, because the Republican Party messaging has not been what it should be these days. And Scott, I'm going to start with you. Okay. What do you think Republicans are doing these days?
You know, anytime you lose the election in your area, I mean, they lost a state senator who was a Republican in Tarrant County.
Yep.
There were two state senators who lost their races, Don Huffines in Dallas and Connie Burton in Tarrant County.
Both libertarians.
I think, yes, and I think it was more expected that Don Huffines would lose. Remember, 4 years ago, John Corona lost a primary to Don Huffines, and then there was no Democrat in the fall.
Yes.
And Corona had always made the point that Senate District 16 there in Dallas County was the least Republican Senate district to be held by a Republican. And his point was that you can't be way over here on the right or libertarian if you're going to hold this area, if you're going to hold this turf.
So what
in Tarrant
they
County, they lose some of their races, and they almost lost some of their state House members. Jonathan Stickland, for example, who's been one of these Tea Party leaders in the House, a Freedom Caucus leader, he went to bed, I've been told, on election night. He didn't know if he had won his race or not. Mm-hmm. He was underwater, you know, as he was laying down that night. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you, I mean, it should be an easy calculus, right? Elections are about addition, not subtraction. And yep. So when you lose races or come close to losing the thing you probably don't want to do is kick more people out of your group, which is what they were doing here. At least the SREC today, the State Republican Executive Committee, condemned that effort in Tarrant County earlier today.
Oh, they did.
I have it right here.
Good.
At quorumreport.com, SREC condemns effort to oust Muslim Republican leader in Tarrant County. They passed a resolution that said, among other things, that the State Republican Executive Committee encourages all Republican County Executive Committees to follow the rules of the Republican Party of Texas related to participation in meetings and conventions and reaffirm our values of religious liberty and freedom to practice all faiths.
Amen. Yeah. And that's why people are Texas insiders, because we break news from the Quorum Report on a weekend basis here.
Promote me as much as you can. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Brian, what do you think? I mean, you're a former Republican Party official, and here we have the messaging, the internal angst. People have been saying it's inevitable. I never thought I'd see the day, but here we are. What are your thoughts on all this?
Well, so I was communications director of the party for 18 months, and I worked under three chairs and several EDs in that time. None of those chairs were paid. It's a traditionally unpaid position. It's a volunteer position, because the idea is the chair comes in and contributes their leadership and their skills and their experience to the party. They are contributing to the party. Now, these two stories and the fact that the SREC, as you say, is not getting an analysis of the election that just happened less than a month ago, suggest a party that is distracted and complacent. This is a problem. This is a big problem.
To put it lightly.
And you would think, I mean, Brian's on it, man. If this doesn't break the back of the whole, you know, just internal fighting in the Republican Party of Texas.
Censuring leaders as they go out.
Using, and this was the criticism at the time, remember the Republican Party of Texas was promoting the speaker commitment form where those who are running for Texas House would need to agree to basically adhere to party discipline when it comes to choosing a presiding officer of the House. They were promoting that speaker commitment form during the filing period, which meant that they were then criticized for helping to recruit candidates against sitting Republican members of the legislature.
With their billion-dollar angel special interest donors in Hit Group enforcing it. It's just insane.
And if a party is focused on that, it's going to be, it may be purer, but it'll be smaller.
Yeah. Well, the party should be focusing on three things.
Okay.
They are message, money, and manpower.
Okay.
That is what parties are for in the state.
Say that again. I'm going to write that down. Message,
money, and manpower. Okay. That's what the state party is supposed to be about. What is the party's message? What was the party's message going into November 6th?
Beats the tar out of me. And
the three of us pay an awful lot of attention to this.
Right. I couldn't come up with a sentence.
And I couldn't come up with their elevator speech for November 6th.
Donald, everybody remembers Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton simply with Make America Great Again.
Exactly. And the point of that, one of the effects of that is that the statewides and down ballot candidates were effectively running on their own. They were effectively not running on a unified message, because the party itself was not unified. The party itself has been focused to a harmful extent on going after its own.
Okay, I got to interrupt you, because to that point, we only got 3 minutes left. Scott alluded to it. This idea during the primary that the Republican Party in its Republican House caucus here at the state legislature would force members in the House caucus to elect a speaker that would be able to get by the floor. They forced everybody to sign a pledge sheet that's what would happen. About 11 or 12 out of 95 didn't. Mm-hmm. It was the Libertarian Freedom Caucus that forced that issue. And then here 2 weeks ago, of all things, the same son of a guns that forced the issue go out and booger a deal to get on a special Sunday meeting to get Dennis Bonin, their chosen person, they boogered their own deal. They're hypocrites. Am I wrong?
Well, and it's not a comment about Chairman Bonin. He may prove to be a very effective Speaker of the House. We will all watch and see.
But
I do think that what you're saying is spot on. I have heard from so many Republican members who are frustrated with what you just described, because they would tell you they were bullied for a year about whether they would follow the caucus process to pick a speaker. And then some of the same people who were promoting that process went outside that process, had their own meeting, and decided that Chairman Bonin should be the next Speaker of the House. And by the way, to underscore the point, he's one of the ones who had not signed that form.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Brian, what do you think?
I just
you ever seen anything like it?
Well, in politics, sure. I mean, you see all kinds of crazy things. But I just go back to what was the party's message going up to November 6th. The Texas Republican Party has an incredible record to run on. It has the best record in the country to run on.
Yep.
Run on it. They didn't.
Yep. Well, folks, we have run out of the runway here today. And doggone it, we could keep talking about this. Scott Braddock from Quorum Report and Brian Preston, you're going to be involved hopefully more with the Texas Insider. We appreciate you guys coming in and hope you'll come back.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Be sure and check out Scott at quorumreport.com. Check us out at texasinsider.org. Don't forget to check out the radio show next weekend from 12:30 to 1:30, where Casey Johns is producing us every weekend right here on Talk 1370. I'm Jim Cardle from Texas Insider. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Get out and do something. If you don't want to do a parachute jump, do something else. Don't just sit around watching TV, talking to it. Get out there and realize at 80 years old, you still got a life.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.